Adharmam.
Adharmam.
Irreligion.
Dharmam.
Dharmam.
Religion.
Iti.
Thus.
Ya.
Which.
Manyate.
Thinks.
Tamasa
vritta.
Sorry,
tamasa.
By illusion.
Avrita.
Covered.
Sarva.
Artan.
All things.
Viparitan.
In the wrong direction.
Cha.
Also.
Buddhihi.
Intelligence.
Sa.
That.
Partha.
O son of Pritha.
Tamasi.
In the mode of ignorance.
Translation.
That understanding which considers irreligion to be religion and religion to be irreligion under the spell of illusion and darkness and strives always in the wrong direction, O Partha, is in the mode of ignorance.
Purport.
Intelligence in the mode of ignorance is always working in the opposite of the way it should. It accepts religions which are not actually religions and rejects actual religion. Men in ignorance understand a great soul to be a common man and accept a common man as a great soul. They think truth to be untruth and accept untruth as truth. In all activities, they simply take the wrong path. Therefore, their intelligence is in the mode of ignorance.
Sounds pretty bleak. And it is.
To take dharma, that which is meant for regulating our lives to bring us to the point of dharma.
Dharma in this world is followed to bring us to the point of actual dharma, love of Krishna.
The most important thing in human life.
Ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha samanyam etat pashubhyanaranam
dharmo hitesham adhiko visesham
dharmena hina pashubhyanaranam.
Eating, sleeping, mating and defending.
You've all heard those words before, right?
Eating, sleeping, mating and defending are done by animals and are done by human beings also.
So what's the difference between an animal and a human?
Dharma.
But a human being who doesn't have dharma is just an animal.
So, simple arithmetic. A plus B equals C.
C minus B equals A.
So, human plus dharma.
Animal plus dharma equals religion.
Religion. Animal plus religion equals human. Human minus religion equals animal.
So it's so important, dharma.
So we may think we have dharma, but if we completely misinterpret and misunderstand what it is, then we're not really humans at all.
Here, in this context, Srila Prabhupada has, as he often does, translates the words dharma as religion, although as he often also points out, it's not a very accurate translation. It's a conventional translation, but it is not very accurate.
Religion, when we think of religion, what do we think of? We think of Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Sikhism, Parsiism, or Zoroastrianism, and so on, although that pretty much covered what goes on in the name of religion in the world today. And we'll find that in all of these, what are called religions,
they have prominent aspects which actually qualifies them as kaitava dharma, or cheating in the name of religion. Dharma kaitava projita atra. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, cheating in the name, or misrepresentation of religion to be religion, which is the same thing that's mentioned here, is rejected from the very outset. It propounds actual religion or actual dharma. Dharma meaning that which sustains the very existence of the living being. If we're not in line with dharma, dharma that which sustains our existence, then we come to a false platform of existence, which is repeated birth and death. So these religions, they all have aspects which disqualify them from being actual religion. Religion should bring us to understand who we are and who is God. But if there's no actual knowledge of God, then, or of the relationship between man and God, between the living being and God, then so many problems will come in. Mostly people take religion to be something, some means by which we invoke higher powers to help us to live happily in this world. That's the general understanding. Or if there's some idea of going to some heaven, the idea is that heaven will be just like Switzerland. I guess if you're Swiss, then for the Swiss, Switzerland will be heaven, but no immigrants, maybe, or something like that. Whatever they think is wrong in Switzerland, it won't be there. Just like C.S. Lewis, maybe you have heard the name, a Catholic theologian of the early 20th century, wrote a series of books, The Narnia series, The Lion, The Witch and the Wardrobe, and it ended up that they all went to heaven, and heaven was like England, because everyone is in illusion, thinking like that. What is that? Janani, janma bhumishcha, swargameva gariyasi. You heard that? As a child, you heard that? Common saying among Hindus up to the present day. The mother and the motherland are more glorious than heaven. So there's serious misconceptions. Serious misconceptions such as killing cows is required. It's not only not wrong, but it's required to be a properly religious person. Not understanding that we are eternal living beings and we take body after body after body. Not understanding this or accepting this causes people to believe in God, but they say that God throws most of the people who he creates into hell forever with no hope of redemption. This is a misrepresentation of God. God, on a whim, creates so many living beings, and most of them don't come up to the standard, and so he chucks them into hell with no hope of redemption whatsoever. So this is a misrepresentation of God. God, dharma ultimately means to know God, but they have so many misunderstandings. And then in Hinduism, in which reincarnation is accepted, there are so many misconceptions. They presume that there are many gods. You can choose whichever one you like according to your whim. Or in Buddhism, they also accept reincarnation, but there's no Atma who gets reincarnated. It's a bit difficult to understand. Very difficult to understand. There's no God. So in this way, there are so many funny things going on in the name of religion. However, There is the concept of a bona fide religion. Probably this concept is outdated, but in late 1976 and 1977, there was a lot of pressure on the Hare Krishna movement in the United States when Adi Keshava Swami and one other were arrested in charges of brainwashing, of kidnapping people and indoctrinating them into the Hare Krishna cult. And ultimately, the case, very heavy charges, ultimately the justice, the judge, he gave a verdict that the Hare Krishna movement is a bona fide religion. And Srila Prabhupada is very happy with that. Even though, on the ultimate level, Srila Prabhupada, he wanted people to know what actual religion, what actual dharma is. Dharmang tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Dharma means, religion means that which is given by God. It means to understand who is God and what is our relationship with Him. So in that way, it's distinguished from what we may say is conventional religion, which is defined in the dictionary as a system of faith in some supernatural powers. But Srila Prabhupada took that as a step forward for the Krishna conscious movement, because it was recognized as a bona fide system of religion, as distinguished from the various cults that were under attack at the time, there was a rash at the same time as the Hare Krishna movement was being propagated in America in the first days, the 1960s and 1970s. There were, for whatever, social reasons or whatever, there were so many cults being propagated in which people were claiming themselves to be God or having the way to God. But they were unconventional. They attracted many young people, many of the older people. The parents of those who joined these cults became very concerned that their child is being misled. And such propaganda was made against the Hare Krishna movement also. They lead such an unconventional life. They rise early in the morning, sleep deprivation. They chant this mantra over and over again, which affects their mind in very strange ways. And you can see it affects their mind in strange ways because they don't eat meat, they don't have illicit sex, they don't have intoxication. They run around on the streets dressed in bed sheets, chanting funny sounds with funny instruments. They must be brainwashed. But Justice Leahy, I believe his name was, gave the verdict. It is a bona fide religion with roots in the ancient Hindu tradition. Now, Hinduism was something also that Srila Prabhupada was ambivalent about. On one hand, he stated that we have nothing to do with the so-called Hindu religion in a definitive article, which this very question was discussed. On the other hand, when there was pressure on the movement, Srila Prabhupada called, call up the Hindus. They'll defend with this, but it's part of an ancient tradition. So Srila Prabhupada wanted it to be recognized as an ancient tradition. It's not something newly made up. What is a bona fide religion? Well, we could say that a bona fide religion is something that has its roots going back many thousands of years, has a large following, is accepted by many normal people of the world. That can be called a bona fide religion. It's not just something made up yesterday by someone who wants to make a lot of money. One of the cults that sprung up at that time and is still going on, the Church of Scientology. The founder, L. Ron Hubbard, is on record as saying, is if you want to get rich quick, the best way is to start a religion. So it seems to have been his motive in doing so. So Srila Prabhupada was happy with that verdict, that it's a bona fide, Krishna consciousness is a bona fide religion, at least to distinguish it from so many charlatans who just pop up with their some ideas, which are actually meant for cheating others. That was a charge of those who are anti-cult, that these cults are simply cheating people. Yeah. Of course, it could be said that the established religions, they're also cheating people, but in an established way. And they're perceived to be doing good for the world. The cheating others, Kaitava Dharma. Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion. Cheating others in an established way. It's accepted. Many of these religions, when they started off, they weren't accepted. And here in Switzerland, which seems to be promoted, as I came in through Zurich Airport, it seems that the Swiss government is promoting Switzerland as a quaint, nice place. Do you know what the word quaint means? It'd be difficult. I wouldn't know how to explain it exactly. Quaint means kind of nice. Kind of nice in a harmless way. Maybe old-fashioned also. Well, you got the definition there? Everything's at your fingertips in the world of the internet. How is Anheimen. Quaint means Anheimen. Molarish. So Switzerland is promoted as being a quaint, nice place where the cows mmm and everyone's happy living on the stolen money of the world's leaders. But actually, Switzerland, as you probably know from the history, was a seat of intense religious oppression or extremism, we could say. The Calvinism came from Calvin, who came from Geneva, was it? Or Bern? Geneva. Anyway, from Geneva, yeah. And his doctrines, anyway, it's a long history of Europe, how there was a lot of burning at the stake and other kinds of execution going on in the name of Christianity. But that's all settled down. And Protestants and Catholics don't kill each other these days. Thanks to God. So people were very afraid that these new religions were exploiting people's minds and to become extremists, although their own traditions were extreme. But they're not so much now. Extreme being taken to mean killing others in the name of religion, or making them become very inimical to others in the name of religion. But of course, the Krishna consciousness movement doesn't, well, it was accused of doing that also. It turns the children against the parents. But one of the main complaints is that because it takes people away from the life of sense gratification. People didn't like that. My children, I raised them. We have cars, we have houses, we have money. Why do they want to do this? Why do they want to give that all up? And the answer is because they didn't find any happiness in that sense gratification. So what is a bona fide religion? Difficult to define, but we could say it's a long-standing tradition that many people partake in and that doesn't perform human sacrifices, or maybe animal sacrifices, you know, but nothing. It's not harmful to others. It's maybe good for others, just like Red Cross helps people Christian religion helps, so it's supposed to help people. Of course, there are persons like Richard Dawkins who would contest that and say that, no, religion is not good. God is not good, said Christopher Hitchens. Heard of him, Christopher Hitchens? Richard Dawkins, yeah. Big atheists of the modern time. Their time seems to have peaked. They were making a lot of noise about 10 years ago. They're not so prominent nowadays. There's Christopher Hitchens, who he wrote a book called God is Not Good, showing that all the bad things that religion does. In the meantime, he died. We don't know where he is now. God knows. Somewhere floating around the Brahmanda, the universe. I suspect, although I didn't take the trouble to research it before I gave this talk, that the term bona fide religion is no longer bona fide. Because who is to say? It's ultimately a subjective decision. I was just speaking a few days ago with Jayadvaita Swami on the dreaded book changes issue. And one of the dreaded controversies that floats around the Krishna consciousness movement. So he told me that the whole idea of a definitive edition of a text is no longer definitive. Modern scholarship doesn't accept. You gave up trying to translate this, is it? It's getting a bit too tough, is it, to translate all this? Okay. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. You can translate that. At the end of every class, that's the conclusion. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So there you go. You got it in a nutshell. So there's, to say something is a definitive edition of ancient texts like the Bible and Shakespeare, where there's no clear consensus on what the original is anyway, if there is any original, and then how it's been received through time. And then there's a school of textual scholarship which says that these texts, anyway, the original doesn't count because it's a living tradition and the text is altered. We have to accept the interpretations of others through the course of time. Of course, we wouldn't say that exactly, because we want to accept Shastra as it is. But anyway, the term definitive edition of an ancient text is out of date, because what is the definitive edition of the Bible or Shakespeare? Or you can't say so. It's subjective. So I suspect that the term bona fide religion is also no longer in vogue, because it's one opinion against the other. If the judge in the court had said it's not a bona fide religion, still many scholars would have disagreed with him. The law is subject to interpretation. Interpretation, however expert a scholar may be, there's always some element of subjectivity. And even there are different schools of law based on different premises. So it's all very complicated. And if you try to sort it all out too much, you'll go crazy. If you try to understand everything down to the minutest detail, when we're dealing with abstract concepts, ultimately, what religion? It's an abstract concept. You can't serve up 3 kilos of it. 3 kilos of religion. It's not like cheese, something else Switzerland is famous for. You can have 3 kilos of cheese, and pretty much you can give 3 kilos. It might be out by. It might be off very slightly, but it's quantifiable. But abstract concepts, there's no end to trying to understand them. So we understand from Shastra, which gives clear understanding for people whose minds are clear, but then not everyone's qualified to understand Shastra either. Although in one sense Bhagavad Gita is open to everyone, but in another sense not everyone can understand it. Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam. This is the king of knowledge, the most secret of all. Why secret? We're selling them on the streets. How is it a secret? What kind of secret is that? Where the Bhagavad Gita is open to everyone, but not everyone has entrance to it, because people who are sinful, who are envious, who are not sufficiently spiritually evolved, they can't understand it. They don't have the adhikar. They don't have the eligibility. And to be a Sanskrit scholar does not necessarily give one eligibility to understand. It might be a disqualification if one thinks that by Sanskrit scholarship one can understand. That in itself is a disqualification. Still, there are terms, dharma, adharma. In this verse we have the term, adharman dharmiti. Because it's difficult to exactly define doesn't mean that there isn't such a thing as dharma. There is, and we have to know what that is, otherwise we're living our lives how? Sarvartan viparitangs cha. Everything we do will work opposite to our real self-interest. Unless we know what is actual dharma. Bhagavad Gita is meant for understanding actual dharma. Arjuna started the discussion, or he gave an idea that to engage in this battle would be against dharma, and adharma would increase as a result of engaging in this. But Krishna told him, in one sense what Arjuna said was true, but in a higher sense, in the fullest sense of the meaning dharma, Arjuna was wrong. So an orthodox recognized tradition with recognized scriptures, which is followed by many people, can be called a bona fide religion. So in that sense, Krishna consciousness, especially if we identify with the broader body of Hinduism, is a bona fide religion in the estimation of worldly people who don't really know what religion is. And that might sound very close-minded or condescending, but it's not condescending in as much as for Einstein to say that most people don't understand what I'm talking about is just a statement of fact. If we examine Nirapekha objectively, we'll find that this is the highest understanding of God. Matah parataram nanyat kinjit asti. There's nothing higher, there's no one higher than Krishna. But everyone will say my religion is the best. But then if we see that which gives the best understanding of God, the best process to understand Him, clear knowledge of why we're in this world, why we're suffering, how we can come out of it. This is the best process. Generally, another facet by which people consider religion to be bona fide is that it does good for people. And especially because people on the bodily concept of life, they consider doing good for people to be feeding their bodies, opening hospitals, medical missions, trying to stop wars. It's hopeless. The United Nations was, first of all, there was the League of Nations and the United Nations. They're supposed to stop wars. Hopeless. The United Nations, do they even think about stopping wars now? I don't. Of course, in Switzerland, you don't have wars, right? When was the last war you had? 700 years ago or something like that. Long time ago. The idea that it's very good to bring peace into the world. Dalai Lama goes around and talks about peace. Doesn't make the slightest bit of difference to whether there's peace or war in the world. And in fact, although he's renowned as a very saintly person, he himself contributes to the non-peace in the world by eating meat every day. Hypocritical. Mother Teresa, also lauded as a great saint, was a great meat eater. Not very saintly. So doing good for people in this world, that's another misconception. The idea that we're supposed to be happy in this world and God's duty is to make us happy. And if he doesn't, we won't believe in him. So this Richard Dawkins and company, they say, how can you believe in God when there's so much suffering in the world? Suffering we make. Purusha sukha dukkha anam bhutritve hetu ruchyate. Because we have a concept of ourselves as enjoyers of this world, we therefore create our own suffering. God gives us the independence to use or misuse our condition in this world. So real religion points to another world. Parastasmatu bhavanyo vyakto vyakti tat sanatana yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu navinashyati. Beyond this world, which is full of suffering, there is another world. This world is created and destroyed again and again, but there is another world which is beyond it, which is never created and never destroyed. So Bhagavad Gita points to that world, to the spiritual world, back home, back to Godhead. The Krishna consciousness movement, it's not primarily concerned with the condition of this world, because the condition of the world, however many hospitals we open, however many eye camps we open, however many dog shelters we open, however many shelters for the homeless we open, this world is going to continue to be a place of suffering. It's impossible for us to stop that. Of course, we can make the condition can resemble Vaikuntha if everyone chants Hare Krishna. But still, there will be old age, disease, and death. This is the very nature of this world. So the Krishna consciousness movement aims for the welfare of others by teaching them to come out of this world. But people who have no clear concept of who is God and our relationship with him, they consider this to be harmful. Adharmam dharam itiya manyase tamasavrita. Due to ignorance, the mode of ignorance, a completely opposite understanding of what is reality, people take what is the actual situation of helping others to give them knowledge. Tamagun means ignorance. So the opposite of that is knowledge. So if you give people knowledge of the situation beyond birth and death, and encourage people, don't try to be materially successful because that will entangle you more in this world. Try for that. Tasyaiva heito prayate tako vido na labhyate yad brahmatam upriyada. Try for that which is not obtainable by going up and down, up and down, up and down in this universe. To get out of this universe, try to go to Krishna. So if we say this, materialistic people will become very disturbed. Oh, what is this? This is people, see, they're working so hard to become maturely successful and you just mislead them. And it's harmful to society. What would happen if everyone became a devotee of Krishna and all the factories were closed? There'd be no more factories. What a disaster. There'd be no more slaughterhouses, no more breweries and distilleries, no more prisons. What is this? You're anti-social by promoting all these things. They have this idea. But actually, Krishna consciousness, it is otherworldly. There's an English word, otherworldly. I suspect you have a similar word in German. It means we're concerned with not so much with this world as with the other world. There probably is, but you can't think of it at the moment. Is there? Can you think of any such word? Otherworldly? I would think so, because it's a philosophical term. And yeah, German is full of philosophical terms. Okay, look it up. There you go. All glories to the internet. Otherworldly. It means people, they're not much concerned with this world. They're always thinking of the other world. Head in the clouds is an idiom. So, yeah, it is. What is the perfection of Krishna consciousness? What did Ishvara Puri tell Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the time, known as Nimai Pandit? What is the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam? He told him, Evang Vratasya Priyanama Kirtya Jatanuraga Chitta Dutta Uchai Asachyate Roditi Roti Gayati Unmadva Nrityati Lokabhayaha. Yeah, Ishvara Puri told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam is that a self-realized person, he chants the name of his dear, the Lord, who is very dear to him, chants the glory, the name and the glories of the Lord. Sometimes he shouts, sometimes he cries, sometimes he laments, sometimes he sings like a madman, not caring for outsiders. So this is very otherworldly, isn't it? What would happen if everyone would become like that? What would happen? How would we produce our bread? What's the answer to that? Ananyas chintayanto mang ye janah pariyupasate te shan nityabhi yuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. Krishna will look after. But there's not much sign of that happening very soon. So Krishna consciousness, yeah, ultimately it points, the real religion must point out of this world, not into this world. How to be good in this world. Get God's grace. The sign of God's grace is that you get lots of money. Right? Is it? That's Switzerland. And Swiss Protestantism. But real religion should take us beyond this world. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada, he was very practical and he wanted to give programs. He gave programs by which Krishna consciousness can benefit this world also. Srila Prabhupada had social reform movements. He said it's a revolution of consciousness, but Varnashram Dharma, completely different approach to life in this world. It's so different that even many of our devotees, they feel very uncomfortable with the idea because it's hierarchical. That's very non-Swiss, isn't it? Hierarchical society. Everyone's equal in Switzerland. A hierarchical society in which there are different, yeah, hierarchical means different. Different people have privilege. Some people have privileges, some don't. Everyone has a duty to perform, which is largely fixed. The Srila Prabhupada had this social program, farm communities, living simply. There's no internet at the time, but That should also include no internet. How can we live? Most young people today, if they're cut off from the internet, they would feel intense discombobulation. Look it up. What's the word? What's the translation in German? They'd feel freaked out. That's another way to say it. Hippie language. They would feel very unhappy, discombobulate. See if they have it's American almost slang. Discombobulate. No. Didn't come up.
I'm not connected.
You're not connected to the internet. Oh no. Cold turkey. Simple living and high thinking. What is this civilization? Srila Prabhupada, so many times. Rushing in cars to work. Spend 3 hours going to work, 3 hours coming back. In the meantime, at work, full of stress. Go back. No decent food to eat. No eating animals, eating carcasses. What is this civilization? So Srila Prabhupada is very concerned with this world also, for the sake of directing people to live in such a way that they can prepare themselves to not remain in this world at all. These are all very big topics. Every verse of Bhagavad Gita, it's got very big topics. This verse, which I read today, could have been explained in many different ways. But I chose to discuss this because I've just been going through Srila Prabhupada's conversations at that period where there was so much pressure on the devotees in America especially, and before that in Germany. Governmental pressure. But Srila Prabhupada welcomed it. He thought it's great. It's all in the news. Everyone's talking about Krishna. They're saying every day, Hare Krishna is bad. But then they see the devotees singing and dancing in the streets, and they start to say, is it really very bad? They look quite innocent, not bad. So Srila Prabhupada was very happy that so many people were talking about Krishna. He welcomed the fight. He had that element. Srila Prabhupada liked a good fight. Just in that series of conversations also, he was castigating, getting on the case of Gopal Krishna, Dasadikari at the time. He said, why don't you have the fighting spirit? What happened to you? Because he's Kanna, that's his family name. Kanna, what caste is that? Is that Kshatriya? I think it's Khatri. But Khatri is not Kshatriya. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada, you wouldn't understand this. It's all about Indian casteism. But Prabhupada said, you lost your fighting spirit. He expected him to. When this fight came with the deprogrammers, Prabhupada said, we should fight. Prabhupada was very happy to have the opportunity to fight. Sukhina kshatriya partha labante yudham idrisham. As Krishna told Arjuna, a kshatriya is very happy when he gets the opportunity to fight. So Srila Prabhupada was in that mood also. So I was just thinking about this bona fide religion when the judge gave the verdict. The Hare Krishna movement is a bona fide religion with roots in the ancient religion of India, something like this. Okay? But bona fide religion, Srila Prabhupada is right. I was just thinking what constitutes a bona fide religion. Actually, bona fide religion means to know who is God, what is our relationship with Him, and to act in that relationship. And as much as that's going on, that much it can be called a bona fide religion. In that sense, Krishna consciousness, if it's practiced anyabhilashita shunyam, in the manner given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Rupa Goswami, without cultivating personal desires, that is bona fide religion. But most of religion is, as Srila Prabhupada pointed out, give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread and our daily euros and francs and our daily meat and our daily cigarettes and our daily TV programs. And so it's, that is called Anyabhilasha Shunyam, Jnana Karma, that is called Jnana Karmadi, Avritam, covered by desires, covered by non-pure desires. So much of what goes on in the name of religion today is not very bona fide, according to the description of Srimad Bhagavatam, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, in relation to the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, which opens, Dharma Projita Kaitavatra. Cheating religion is kicked out here. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur put that in a Bengali verse, that Priti Vite, you've all heard a Bengali verse beginning with Priti Vite, means in the world. Priti Vite, this is another one though. Priti Vite Joto Kichu Dharma Nama Chale Bhagavata Kahe Taha Pari Purna Chale Dharma Nama Chale Chale. So whatever is going on in the world in the name of religion, according to the Srimad Bhagavat, it's just a hoax. Dharma Nama Chale Bhagavata Kahitaha Pari Purna Chale. Yeah, that's right. Hare Krishna. Have you learned all the Gita verses? No, I'm looking at, that's Ramakanta, his big brain, yeah? You learned all the Gita verses? This verse, you know. Viparitamscha. Great. Very good. Every word is important. Adharmam, dharmam, iti. Those who take adharma to be iti ya, ya means that. Manyase, they think. Who thinks like that? Who thinks like that? Tamasa, mode of ignorance. This is discussing the three modes of material nature, again in Bhagavad Gita. Avrita, covered. Those who are covered by tamagun, they think like that. It's opposite way of thinking, isn't it? So the next line says, sarvartan, sarvartan, in all respects. Viparitangscha, viparit means opposite. Everything they get back to front. Viparitangscha. Then buddhi, such intelligence, buddhi sa, that kind of intelligence. Buddhi sa partha tamasi, that intelligence is in the mode of ignorance. So every word is important here. Yeah, that's what I want to ask. Did you learn all the Gita shlokas? Because I was surprised that you knew this one, which is not such a well-known verse. Did you make a project to learn all the Gita shlokas? The whole Gita, yeah. But we have to, for most of us, we have to revise regularly, otherwise we forget. Right. Yeah. without intense exercise. Krishna's blessed you with a good brain this time around. And of course, previously, if you had to read it 50 times to remember it, you'd be considered a dull head. Because you're supposed to just pick it up like that, right? If we're Shrutidhar. But then there are others who may read it 500 times and they still couldn't remember it. It's different people get different gifts awarded to them in different births. Yeah, so good intelligence, but then using it, the real intelligence is to use it for the right thing.
We learn in this, Bhagavad Gita shloka, and sometimes we see that by preaching, we're using this to devotees, and it has some effect. And how effective is this shloka if we preach to karmis?
How effective is using shlokas if we preach to karmis? It depends a lot on their openness. I was present once when it's a famous conversation. It comes up in the Science of Self-Realization. Srila Prabhupada speaking with Mike Robinson of the London Broadcasting Corporation. And Srila Prabhupada had, I think it was Harikesh, read out the Najayate Mriyate Va Kadachin, this verse, with the translation. And then Mike Robinson, who was interviewing him, interviewing Srila Prabhupada, asked about the importance of the scriptures. It gives a sense of authenticity, authoritativeness. That it's not just something I made up, but it's coming from an ancient, at least people think it's an ancient tradition. Actually, it's more than an ancient tradition. It is Veda. It is eternal knowledge. So for those who are followers of the Vedic tradition, they can understand that this is authorized. And for others who are not, we may not invoke this. But if they have some openness, they may accept that. Others may not. They say, I don't care for some mumbo jumbo that some savages dreamed up. But such people, we don't have. Why should we preach them anyway? Upeksha. We should neglect such people. Then, anything? Anything else? Hare Krishna! All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavad Gita. V.C. Ist. Gita. Said it more or less okay, did I? Perfect! Super! That's a common word used in German, right? More than in English, I think. Hare Krishna.